I'd like to call the meeting to order for the Curry Beach Town Council, Monday, March 18th, 2024. Commissioner John Ellen will have our invocation, and then we'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please join me in prayer. Lord, we are meeting today to conduct matters of business. Guide our hearts and our minds in the spirit of fairness, right thought, and speech. Impart your supreme wisdom upon our activities so that our affairs may reach a successful conclusion. Thank you for being our source of guidance today. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda is to approve the consent agenda. Council, if y'all would look over those, if you have any concerns, or I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion to approve as presented.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, approved. Next is adoption of the agenda. We have an addition, Commissioner Hagler.
Yes, sir. I'd like to make a motion to add a presentation from Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce as presentation 6.1.
You have a second?
I'll second.
Second that motion. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, next, public comment. Mandy, do we have anybody on the list?
No, sir.
Okay, no public comment tonight. All right, presentations. Jim, I think you're up, I believe, for the chamber. Are you up for the chamber? Oh, you're looking back at the other Jim back there. When I called Jimmy tonight, and Jim thought I called him, so I had both of them coming up. Go ahead, Jim. Welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Commissioners. My name is Jim DiGiulio. I am the Executive Director of the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce, and I appreciate the time this evening. I'm going to walk you through a little presentation just to catch the group up on what we've done and what we're looking to do, and kind of go from there. So, the kind of the pegs of our chair, if you will, are those four items that are our 2024 strategic planning goals. Advocacy is something that we purposely put it on the top of this page. Our role as a Chamber of Commerce is to advocate for the businesses on the ground. We take that responsibility very seriously, and whenever anything new comes across my desk, the first question I ask is, how does it affect our businesses? If it's a positive answer, then we'll proceed to the next step. If it's not, we immediately dismiss it. So advocacy is very, very important to us. Education is important as well. I'm going to get into that a little bit further into the presentation. Tourism, obviously, is a major part of what we do here on the island, specifically for our businesses. And member engagement, I'm going to talk a little bit further into this presentation as well. So those are kind of the four cornerstones. Our events, we have a good handful of events that we support, plan, and execute every year. The Blakeslee Air Force Base Concert Series, those are six separate music events, two in the month of August, two in the month of September, and two in the month of October. That slate is already planned. Those are our bands for 2020 and our dates for 2024. Looking forward to having some fun with that group of people. This is a nice little shot of what those events look like. It's funny, we were kind of joking the other day. We talk to the bands before they start each evening, because generally they'll take a break and then come in for a second set. We always plan their break about 5 minutes before sunset, because if we don't, the entire group that's there gets up, walks to the river, takes a picture, and then comes back to their seats to finish listening to the show. So Even that level of detail, we're taking care of as best we can. But it's a lot of fun. We have six of those this year. We've got a food truck and a dessert truck at every one of the shows. Donut bus. You guys haven't heard of donut bus? That's a big hit. So they fry the donuts right there at the show, and that's a lot of fun. So that's one of the events that we have. The Carolina Beach Music Festival, we've been doing that for 38 years this year. Big event. It's in Carolina Beach. First weekend in June every year. Lots of fun. Initially, I thought that was pictures of pets in the park, but it's not. It's actually a picture of the Beach Music Festival. So we get a good crowd there every year, weather permitting. It's a lot of fun. The music is great, and it's a big event for the Chamber of Commerce. Pets in the Park, we've been doing that now this year, that'll be 4 years. There's a couple of photos there, some Pets in the Park. Fun event. Off-season, we do it in October. That picture in the center there is actually a goat with wings. She was the big winner last year of all of the pet contest categories. She kind of swept like the Oscars, I guess. But lots of fun, and who doesn't like puppies, right? So that's a great event that we do in October every year. This year, and this is very specific to Curry Beach, it's our second annual Kites kickoff event. The Kites, most of you are aware, the first weekend of November we do the Cape Fear Kite Festival on Saturday and Sunday. We have a Friday night kite fly in Carolina Beach on the beach. But last year we kicked off the event Friday early afternoon right next to the Curry Beach Pier. I wouldn't say it was well attended. But the people that attended thought it was awesome. So we want to grow on that this year. We want to market that a little bit more this year, advertise it a little bit better. And we think it's a nice local start to the bedlam of what is Saturday and Sunday Kite Festival. So those of us that live in town, we normally stay off the roads on Saturday and Sunday because it's not the most pleasant weekend to drive around. But these are some photos of last year's kickoff event at the Curry Beach Pier. It was a lot of fun. We had our sport kiters there. You see two of the photos there. That team is incredible how they can maneuver those kites. They were actually literally parking them on the pier from the air. And then they would just give it a little tug. They'd get right back up in the air again and start their aerobatics. It was really, really great. So, and we had some dragons and some things up there. But we're going to do that this year again. We thought it was great. We didn't get a lot more local Curry Beach residents to enjoy some of the kites without having to deal with the crowds on the weekend. Night with Kites. We kind of joke around the office. We equate that with the Super Bowl. If you haven't been, it's lunacy in terms of attendance. The amount of people that flow onto that Carolina Beach boardwalk on that Friday night is just amazing, frankly. I think I have some photos there. Yeah, so for those of you that haven't been there, it's actually kind of neat. The kites light up from inside. And if you look at that diagram corner there, you get a pretty good sense of how many of them are in the air. We've had some issues over the past couple of years, things we learned that we didn't know we needed to. You know, when the sun goes down, generally the breeze dies. It's not the best thing for kites. So this year we're planning to have actual runways because the kiters have told us, think about when you were a kid, how'd you get a kite in the air? You ran as fast as you could with the kite behind you and eventually got up there, right? Well, these 30-foot kites, it's kind of the same mindset. They just need a longer runway to make that happen. So we're putting some changes into how the beach is laid out for Friday night to get those big guys up in the air. That's always a fun event. And then we've got the 18th annual this year, Cape Fear Kite Festival, which is down the street here. That's on Saturday and Sunday. Obviously, from the pictures, you get a pretty good sense of what that's all about. But we have, in addition to the kites, as you can see, we do face painting for the kids. We've got a bunch of food trucks down there. We've got bands all day, both days, kite making workshops. There's just all kinds of things for families and kids. One of the things that I had the most fun with, actually wasn't even at the Kite Festival, we have shuttles that run from Blakeslee Air Force Base down to Fort Fisher. And the reason for that is mainly for safety. We kind of shut everybody off at Blakeslee and forced them to make a right-hand turn and park their cars there, jump a shuttle, and then take it down to the space where the event takes place. That's primarily so emergency vehicles have the ability to get in and out of there pretty easily without having a jam pack with cars. But the thing I really enjoyed was being on the shuttles and watching the faces of the kids and listening to them. As you're just making that turn around where the museum is, and you can actually see the kites in the air, and just hear them all squeal the first time they see it, saying things like best day ever, and they're hanging out the windows, and it's just a really neat sort of Christmas morning type of a feel when they see those kites, so it's a great event. So those are the major events that we conduct every year. Our accomplishments, again, I'm going to try to keep it as short as I can. 37 new members of the Chamber of Commerce last year. We did a number of ribbon cuttings. A few new committees. Our Women's Empowerment Network has really taken off. That's a new committee for us. I'm not allowed in that room, so I don't know exactly what happens in there, but I hear that they're doing good work. The Carolina Beach Centennial, for those of you that are not aware, that happens next year, 2025. There are a slew of events planned for the centennial. We are working with that team on ensuring that that is a nice smooth process. And then our Business and Economic Development Committee has also got their hands full between the proximity project and, just for good measure, we want to throw a 177-room hotel plan into that mix. So we'll see where all that goes. And then we've got our membership and marketing committees that existed, but we've recharged those this year, and we're actually going through a membership drive right now. We're looking for our membership to grow off the island out to Monkey Junction. We think a lot of people that live on the island here frequent the businesses all the way out to Monkey Junction on a pretty regular basis, so we think it makes sense that they would be also members of the Chamber of Commerce. 2024, the things that we're working on. Business After Hours, they are networking events. They're generally held in restaurants or bars. We have 9 of those booked for this year. We've already done 3, very well attended. It's a nice way to meet other business owners, shake hands. We have a lot of our local councils and committees that attend those on a pretty regular basis as well. So it's nice to have that mix of local government and business. Our membership drive, as I said, is underway. Our business owner roundtables have really taken off, and those are generally educational. A good example would be actually the hotel that is being talked about in Carolina Beach. We've started some roundtables with some small business owners that have a concern that hotel might not be good for their business. So we're talking to people about how do we attack that if in fact that does happen as a small business owner, and actually make it a strength rather than potentially a weakness for them. So those are going very well. New initiatives for us this year, Restaurant Week is happening April 7th through the 14th. We've got 2 of the major players here in Curry Beach are taking part in that. Jack Mackerels and their friends next door. Second Saturday is new for us this year as well. That's going to be held obviously on the second Saturday of every month in the off season, and we'll be doing things that are specific to the season to try to draw people into town to shop in our stores, eat in our restaurants, drink in our bars, and those sorts of things. So the best example I could give would be in for December. We've got the already booked the Ashley High School Choir. They'll be singing Christmas carols in select areas around the island on that second Saturday as a draw. And what we've learned is that when we get the choir, we get the parents. And that's always good for business as well. So that's something that we're really excited about. And we've also this is not new necessarily, but we're reintroducing our Making Waves Awards. I think this group has gotten some of the detail on it. I hope you have anyway. also sent specifically, we have a value rating that we're going to be awarding this year. We sent specific information about that award out to the chiefs of police, chiefs of fire, and we wanted to make sure that our lifeguards were involved in potentially getting one of those awards as well. So that'll be fun. More to come on that. We're working through the details. And that's it. Again, just wanted to catch you up on kind of where we are and what we're doing, and thanks again for taking the 5 minutes. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay, the next item of business on the agenda is one of the first of two legislative hearings. The first hearing is the purpose is to receive comments on the proposed text amendments for the Sombra Properties LLC. Aaron and Kelly Orlando at 125 South 3rd Avenue. Notice this hearing was posted on the town website on February 22nd, 2024 and published in the town in the newspaper on February 29th, 2024 and March 7th, 2024. The Sunshine List was notified on February 23rd, 2024. At this time, I will open the public hearing. If anyone has any public comments to make about this, this is your time to speak. Okay, hearing no comments, I will close this public hearing on the matter, and we will take this up later on in our meeting, the actual part of it. We'll take it up in our meeting. The second public hearing, the purpose is to receive comments on the system development fees. Notice of this hearing was posted on the town website on February 2nd, 2024 for public comment meeting on the meeting the 45-day requirement and published in the newspaper on March 7th, 2024. The Sunshine List was notified on March 1st, 2024. I'll open the public hearing on this hearing at this time. Anybody have any comments or concerns? Please go to the podium. A talkative group tonight, huh? So, at this time, I'll hear no comments. I'll close the public hearing, and we will discuss this matter later on in the meeting. Next, we go into committee business, Bike Ped Advisory Committee. Mo?
Honorable Mayor Oliver, Commissioners, the Curry Beach Bike Ped Committee has been very diligent in setting out specifically what we can accomplish this year. And three of the different focuses are going to be education, communication, and infrastructure. Now, as far as education, last year, if you remember, we had a traffic garden right out here. We've got this down to a science. It was awesome. We just didn't get the amount of kids here that we felt we could capture. So if they won't come to us, we are going to go to them. And we've been in communication with the Carolina Beach Elementary School, spoken with their PE teacher, Kevin Murphy. I think maybe his parents live here in Curry Beach, but he's fantastic. And he suggested doing it during school for PE class. And this is so awesome because in conjunction with the Terry Benji Bicycling Foundation, we are working on getting Let's Go NC, which is a curriculum for third graders, and Carolina Beach Elementary School will be the pilot program for New Hanover County. And maybe by the end of 3 years, it'll be in all the elementary schools. So we are moving forward and making great strides there. The actual date has not been confirmed by the principal because of, you know, end of year grading or testing or whatever they have to do. But we'll have that by next month's meeting. So children aren't the only ones that need to be educated. Adults need to be educated. And so our committee has, our education committee has come up with two focuses for this year. One is be seen and be safe, because we see so many people walking on Fort Fisher after dark and wearing all black. And so this is one thing that we're going to be educating the adults with this year. And then also heads up, phones down. And not only for people driving, but for people walking in the crosswalk, we want to make sure that there's a eye-to-eye visual contact between people driving cars and pedestrians and people riding bikes. And this was the book that we got for the kids that teaches them to teach their parents they don't feel safe when they're texting and driving at the same time. So that's our education. It's going to be great this year. As far as communication goes, we do have a website. And I don't know how many of you have been to our website, or if you even knew we had one, or how to get there. But you go to the town website, and then you find the committee, and then you find the bike ped committee. And we probably update that every month or every 2 months. But because it is awkward to get to, that's why we felt and came to council several months ago about having more of a social presence on something like Facebook. But I know that that's a conversation that's going to happen later on in the meeting. So we might have a couple of comments that we'd like to say at that time. Then as far as infrastructure, another one of our goals for this year, the Wednesday night is 2 days from today. From 6 to 8 o'clock will be the East Coast Greenway Feasibility Study that'll take place right here in Town Hall, and it'll be a survey maybe similar to the one that they had at the fire station, hopefully a little bit more controlled. Maybe we'll be able to hear better. But every person that comes in will be given a survey that they will be able to fill out, and you know, ULTA, the planning group, will take it from there. We've been working on sidewalks. We've been working on our lighted crosswalks, which three of them should be done by the time the visitors come. And we've been looking at bike racks, where we need bike racks, especially at the crossovers. And hopefully we'll be able to get a grant that can pay for those. The Tour de Blueberry Curry Cruisers team, it will be June 15th, and that's held in Burgaw. And in order to sign up for the Curry Cruisers team, you just have to go to our website and fill out the form, and then also fill out the
liability waiver.
Thank you. And last year, you know, we made some pretty good miles on that team. And I think that might be it.
The information for that will be up tomorrow.
Thank you.
Because I got the email today, but I have not had a chance to get it up there yet, so tomorrow will be up.
Any questions for us?
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Community Center Committee? No one's here. We did meet, and we talked about some events. Hopefully, we're going to have some information coming out in the near future. Historic Preservation? Do y'all?
Unlike Mo, we're staying hidden and being quiet.
Marketing Committee?
Yes.
Yes, sir. You got it.
A little presentation.
A
couple hours.
All right. Thank you.
I haven't provided the status in a while, and you guys know I normally like to have like a nice presentation, but today I'm just going to give you some updates and maybe stir the pot a little bit. I tend to do that. Just bring you guys up to date. Next week we have a meeting with the CBB, where they're going to, it's a status, we're going to review the occupancy tax collection update. We're running about 5% ahead of where we were. We're going to look at the highlights from last year, from July to December. We're going to review all of that. And then we're also going to review the recommendations for fiscal year 24-25, focusing more on the paid media and some of those things that they're going to be doing. So invite anybody that wants to come and listen to that. You know, I know Connie will be there, and the same time, but I do think this is an important topic. I'm going to get to this, to the reason behind that later. The first thing I want to do, the next thing I want to do is we've written a letter requesting a review of regulations. I just have a book, and I'm not going to read it to you guys, but I want you to read it, decide whether you think it should go legal or not, and decide whether, because there's a pretty substantial surplus of money that wasn't used, and we've been working with the CDB to identify ways to spend that. You know, like I've told you guys before, we can't tell them how to spend it, but we can tell them what, we can push them in the direction of what to spend it on. But it's a substantial amount, and there might be some loopholes in there where we could use it for something else that is related to tourism or marketing because it's labeled as surplus. So I have a letter that we drafted, and I'll give you guys a copy after this. Next, just to recap from the CBB presentation that we had a couple months ago, I think this is interesting. That's why I'm bringing it up. I think everybody here might find this interesting, but as we look to fiscal year 24-25, just a little bit about travel trends. Travel and tourism continues to be a priority despite rising costs. This is research that we're getting from the CBB and from their agencies, and I'll give you a little more information about them in a minute. Road trips and day trips will be popular as gas prices are predicted to fall a little bit, so we're expecting more weekend travelers, we're expecting more short trips from close by. Travelers are embracing the benefits of being flexible, and trip timing and destination, that means, you know, they're looking for deals, they're looking for things that may pop up and then going rather than planning months and months in advance. You're going to have both types, but they're seeing a trend in that direction, so we're trying to gauge the marketing around those things. There continues to be the shift from TV and print of our generation to more digital as the younger folks are getting older and as it takes more of a hold in our world. So we're seeing a shift of marketing over to those away from TV and print. Not completely, just a portion. Interesting thing, 30% of travelers cited in a survey they did, cited traveling to destinations that were movie and TV filming locations. This fits in well with what our plans are with the committee and also with our beach. It's an opportunity. And I view our job as to present opportunities to you guys, and you have to help us decide whether to run with them or not. Baby boomers, 21% of the population are retiring and accelerating their travel plans. So we can expect to see more and more people in the retirement age coming down here, not only to live and become residents, but also to visit. So that's part of the demographic that we're looking at to market to. Sustainability, another thing that we're really trying to emphasize more and we need your guidance on, is growing in value when people are considering travel, environmental concerns, sustainability, responsible tourism. In other words, those things are becoming more and more important, and it's something we might want to think about as a town. So the current strategy, so that's what they're looking at, and they're going to present more on that next week. The current strategies, 23-24, one of the things they came up with that they discovered is they needed to educate out-of-town or out-of-state travelers with the Wilmington Beaches area. They found one of the biggest things people just don't know about us. And I know some of us may say, great, let's keep it that way. But if our objective is tourism, we've got to think about how do we educate people about this place as a tourist destination. The other thing is extending seasonality. This is one of the things that concerns me most, that I need guidance from, we need guidance from you. But you know, their plan is, their strategy is a year-round marketing approach that will take advantage of longer lead trip planning, enable increased visibility through peak travel times, and help overcome early June and late August school challenges. So, as I'll talk about in a minute, you know, our high season, I mean, it's going to continue to push out, which goes to some of the things I'm going to talk about later. But it's not just about summer anymore. That's not what they're marketing, just summer. High income targeting, one of the big things, I don't know, they're trying to get higher income people down here that are traveling to spend more money in our area, which I think is good. You know, there's going to be some negative connectivity to that, but it is what it is. That's one of the things they're trying to do. In-state, Western focus for longer stays. They're looking at the North Carolina markets with the potential for more overnight visits. It doesn't really help us as much if somebody travels here from a short distance and they spend the day on the beach and then they drive home for our businesses. So they're trying to focus a lot further away in the western side of the state. That's been fairly successful this year, so I'll give you some metrics on that. And then we continue with this hybrid plan where there's some efficiencies gained by marketing all the beaches in Wilmington collectively with part of the budget and then focusing in on the personality of this beach or each beach and having isolated marketing on that. They're going to continue to do that, focus on the attractions of each one of the beaches, but try to leverage the larger picture to save money for all of us. So I think that's a good plan. It's just we got to define what we want, but what. The research behind the strategy, a variety of technologies are being used. They are studying the brands of destinations where people want to travel to, which is a part of my ask here in a minute. They're looking at arrivalist data, that's travelers. You know, how long are they staying? Where are they coming from? You know, just information about the travelers that are coming into this location. They're using technology with Adara data to find out what people are spending in this area. You know, so there's a lot of stuff underneath that they're using to craft this marketing plan to maximize the return on investment. The other thing that they're doing is the media metrics. You know, they can measure how much traffic's going through Google, how much who's looking at the website, what are they doing when they get to the website. I mean, there's a lot of information. And you guys know I run a digital marketing company, so I know that data is great, but you got to have people tell you what it means. You know, the data doesn't mean anything, it's the information you glean from it. They're doing a real good job of that. Research. So, but with that research, I think it's some of the takeaways they had was there is a lack of familiarity with our area. 61% in the survey didn't know enough about our area yet. So one of the things they're trying to do is promote it, get more information out, not just in the Carolinas, but in other locations. And there's some pluses and minuses in doing that. Part of the survey is what comes to mind when people think about Wilmington beaches. Well, the beaches are number one. 20% of the people respond to the beaches, where the next one down is peacefulness at 9% and the battleship at 5%. The reason I bring this up is because I believe 20 years ago when this legislation was put together for the CBP to manage this, the beaches needed the marketing. We needed their power. It's flipped. You know, the beaches are a driving factor now, and they're driving people to not just here, but back to Wilmington, eat dinner and do things in Wilmington. So this whole legislation is flipped a little bit, in my opinion, and it's something that maybe we ought to talk about. Another takeaway, they have a great chart, and I think you guys should look at that. If you haven't seen that presentation, it's a grid, it's four quadrants on importance versus ratings. And interestingly, of course, we rate really well with our beaches, especially the beaches, but it's an interesting. And then the other thing, too, is they're learning that through this grid, what's important, as people know about us, our strengths get rated much higher for the people who know about us, which I think says a lot about our beaches. I mean, it means we're doing a good job. We're not getting the message out all over the place. A lot of people don't know about us, but when they do find out about us and what we have down here, they like what they see and intend to return. Um, 64.4% said that seeing the new ads, they went through a whole new advertising campaign this year. And we spent a lot of time, I got members of the committee, we spent a lot of time beating them up and saying, we like this, we don't like this, fix this, change that. And they said that 64% said that those ads had an impact on them deciding to come here. So I think this is another out of the way for the CBB and helping us accomplish that and get people here. And then the last takeaway was these high conversion markets, they spent a lot of time looking at what markets are high converters for us and where should we be marketing. And as you might think, the Triad, Charlotte, Roanoke, DC, and Atlanta, those were all high conversion markets. The problem is like DC and Atlanta are places that don't know a lot about us, but they're interested in it. And so, guess what? We could probably spend more money marketing in those areas. And I think that's, again, something we need to talk about with you guys. And then they also identified markets to deprioritize, which I was glad to hear, because I don't want them just spending money because, hey, we want to try out Cincinnati or Columbus or Cleveland. All three of those markets didn't do well, so they're deprioritizing those. My take to them all the time is, look, if you spend $10,000 in a certain area of the country and you're advertising, you're going to see hits on the website, you're going to see people down here. That's because you're advertising there. I think what we've got to do is figure out what markets do we want them marketing to, and how do we help them do that? All right, so for my part, what does all this mean? As I've mentioned in previous presentations, you guys should go back. I went back and looked at that presentation I brought to you guys last June. It still holds pretty true. I spent a lot of time putting it together, and we should take it seriously. ROT collections have gone from $350,000 to close to $2.5 million in the last 20 years. It's big. Guess what? CDB's going to want to spend every drop of that. Not only is full-time residency growing, but as you heard, seasonality is being extended, which will steadily bring more significant impact to the town of Curry Beach and its residents. More traffic, more demand on town, staff, like police, fire department, beach business. It's going to continue to grow because of the amount this marketing pot is getting huge, and we're going to continue to have an impact on those. We can only affect what we are marketing. In terms of assets and products, the CVB decides how. That is how the marketing budget is spent to drive tourism. Don't get me wrong, they listen to our input. They've been great to work with, but they have marketing monies to spend as dictated through the legislation. And part of what I want to do is let's get to a place where we can help control that and help measure growth in accordance with that. KB tourism is a double-edged sword because our economy depends on it. I know there's a lot of people that would love to see it lower or higher, but we've got to have it. So the only thing we can do is manage it. For the most part, I'll say I love this. I said it last time. Residents want the same thing that tourists seek: a family-oriented, quiet, small-town feel that is also uniquely and centrally located to many different things to do and see. That's what people want. We have that. We have that right here. We don't have all of the Carolina Beach stuff. I love Carolina Beach. I love going up there, but I also like the central location that we are, and we need to figure out how to market that and control demand on our own space. So what is the KB MAC doing, and how can you help? Last year, we were trying to do too much, and I think my committee members would say, yeah, Mark was cracking the whip. So we decided to simplify things this year. Each member of our committee has a passion about a specific category of what we believe are marketing assets. History, arts, food and lodging, environment, exercise and outdoors and events. We believe those all contain assets that this town appreciates. Residents appreciate, and so do tourists. That's why they come here. We agreed to identify a few things in each of these categories that we could improve or create or just drive. So we just kind of skinnied all down to a few items and said, let's just each of us focus on doing one thing this year to propel our assets. And we're kind of at a standstill because we need guidance from you guys. We call this our objectives and plan for 2024-25. We believe these areas contain the fabric of our brand, but we need concurrence and or guidance. However, as I said, the KB MAC can't make these decisions unilaterally. And now that the elections are over, I felt like it was time to have this conversation. How can we get more direction and guidance from the town council? I'm going to ask these and then you guys can tell me. Ms. Merkel had succeeded Mr. Ellen as a KB MAC liaison, but I believe it would be good to engage more of the town council in a discussion on this, because I do think it's critically important that we can let it come to us, or we can be proactive and try to do something about it. That's my take on it. And then lastly, for Curry Beach, we believe it's incredibly important that we take a more direct approach to marketing going forward, and it really boils down to three things. We need to actively create and protect the KB brand via a 3 to 5 year marketing strategy. What do we want to market, and how do we control it? It's not all about the growth. We all know that. We need to do this before it's too far out of our control. Second, we need to manage the growth by measuring progress against that 3 to 5 year plan. We need to define what our metrics are, and say, this is how we're going to measure if we're keeping this thing under control, where we can manage it and it doesn't get out of hand. I don't think any of us that live here want to keep it quiet and keep it the way it is, but we've got to work to that. We've got to manage to that. So that's one. And the last thing is we need to just communicate and adhere to it. Once we lay out a plan, let's make sure that we're staying on it. Just use it as to help us control and manage where we're going. It's really, and for you guys, this is big stuff, and these are things that are on our minds, and we can run down all these paths of history and coming up with ideas of arts and film, but I think a lot of that's got to be on y'all's plate. That helps out here. All right? Any ideas? I told you I'd stir the pot.
Anybody have any questions or comments?
It's a lot to consider.
Yeah, it really is.
I like it.
I mean, I'm the new council person that attends the Marketing Advisory Committee meetings, and I agree, you know, I listened to, you know, what we're looking at, and it is really important to establish what we want our brand to be, and not only what we want our brand, but how we want to spend the money, because like you said, we have input, but then we don't make the ultimate decision. But we should decide what our input should be. And, you know, those six assets that you describe, I think it's important for us to figure out, of those six, what are the most important things that we want them to go after for us. So I don't know how we go about it. I mean, I go to the meetings. I have my own ideas, but I think he's right. We need the whole council to have some input to this. So I don't know if you want me, Mark, the whole committee to come and establish a meeting with you, or how we make our way forward on this.
I mean, do we need to have a joint meeting together and invite everybody to come to a marketing committee meeting?
That's what I think. I think a joint meeting would be most beneficial.
I'm open to that.
That'd be great. We got to pick your brains a little bit and decide 5 years from now, when the marketing budget is closer to $3 million, what are we going to do with it?
It's a lot of money, ROT.
And honestly, there's a part of us that believe that what would happen if we didn't market during the high season? If we didn't spend money in the high season, my guess is we'd still be full.
Probably.
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's the off season.
Yeah. And then how much do we want to spend in the off season? How full do we want to be in the off season? Can we manage it?
How many people do we want here?
So that's where I'm at. And I'm sorry I took so much time. But I think this
so was Mandy, when Mandy stands up here, she has something she wants to say.
Yes.
So just keep in mind, if y'all were going to do a joint meeting, I'm going to have to advertise it as
right.
a special
Correct.
Meeting. It can be just like a work session, but it's still got to be advertised.
Yeah, and I would say we would focus it around the time y'all have your marketing committee meetings, or we can work on that.
Well, I like
when it's workable for our schedules and everything.
I can work with Connie on an agenda that's suitable too.
We have a meeting next week.
That's not enough time.
Maybe the next month.
No, I mean next week you and I can strategize when we have our meeting.
No, what I was going to say is, you can have two at a meeting and another one if you want to attend. I think it would be really cool for you guys to see what these guys are doing. I don't think they're bad. I just think we need to hurt them a little bit.
Three's more, so any more than two.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just to follow up, Connie, if somebody wants to attend the meeting next week, just let us know if you want to attend. If not, I'll try to attend, but I don't want, if anybody else has a burning desire to attend, just let us know.
That would be good.
Okay.
Because if there's only two of us, we don't have to.
Right. If two of us are not a quorum. Yeah. Okay. Planning and Zoning Commission, Byron.
Yeah, just very brief. We heard with the public hearing the Sombra text amendment that had been presented to council last month. Normally that's handled under committee business. Tonight it's under new. So just wanted to provide some early commentary just to make sure from a context standpoint everything's understood. This is a property where the owners have owned for a long time. There was a single family residence on the property, demolished several years ago, and now they would like to rebuild residential single-family property, and this is in the business district, which is the only reason why this is coming up. previously the code allowed for the rebuilding of a property within a year. And so, in essence, the major change here is that we're just taking away the one-year requirement and allowing that to extend. But in addition to that, we're also tightening things up a bit by ensuring that there's a clear track record from a historical standpoint that the previous property was indeed a single-family residence. So this would not allow a current business to then demolish and then build a single-family property. There's got to be a historical change from single family to single family. Also, the setback requirements and impervious requirements in the business district are not as strict as they are in a typical residential district. What we are now asking is that the typical residential requirements would take place within the business district for any type of single family residence being built. And again, that'll be something that you all will vote on in the new business section. Any questions on that?
Yeah.
And
then just question anybody?
No, sir.
No, thank you. Good explanation. Thank you.
And then very quickly, Vice Chair Barlock, as he has been doing, has now completed his review and suggested changes for chapters 5 through 7. At our next planning and zoning meeting, we intend to kind of finalize those changes. So just expect that in your April meeting to be presented. Given it doesn't involve anything expensive nor anything in Chapter 15, there'll be no public hearing. It'll just be something that you all will vote on next month.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shoreline access and beach protection. Chairman Jackson, there you are.
Yeah, I'm right over here. Okay. Okay. My name is Rick Jackson. I'm part of Shoreline Access and Beach Protection Committee. Recently, some friends, or actually acquaintances, came by and spoke to me, and they're having a problem. They live in the Hamby Ocean View area, and they have a lady who is coming down there with buckets and bags full of breadcrumbs and everything else. And I suggested that, one, they talk to the lady, and two, and or to talk to the police department. Well, they did both, and the police department, and I double-checked with Lieutenant Bailey, we don't have any ordinances restricting feeding of birds on the beach. None at all, which means that you could go down there anytime and feed as many birds as you want to, no matter who's surrounding you or anything else. So, I got the scoreboard to those. This is a video.
Have you clipped it together?
There it goes. This is a video from 1004 and a half, the handicap ramp.
Oh, that's
there we go. Wow. I don't know how many birds are there. 50, 60, 100 type thing. This is another video from the same location, I don't know, 2 weeks later. I think you got that's two videos on this.
Next slide.
Next slide, please. There we go.
Is this a video as well?
Yes, it is. Thank you, Mandy.
Uh-huh.
Need your help. Can you hear the gentleman speaking on this one?
So, we're walking on the boardwalk here, and this lady feeds the gulls every day at this time. And she's feeding them now. Thank you.
It happens all the time. I was going to ask her, why are you doing this? And she said, well, the birds need food. You know, they absolutely need this type thing. And that's not true. But we don't have any ordinance that says, no, we can't do it. We're not after, you know, that one girl, little girl that tosses a Cheeto up in the air. But we are, we need something to prevent this. And there's our, I think everybody's seen it if you've gone down to Atlantic Avenue or to Curry Beach, because you'll see crowds down there, and all of a sudden one of these groups will decide to feed a bunch of birds. Well, that's great for that group of people, but the rest of the people, not so much fun whatsoever to be surrounded by a flock of birds. All right, now, next slide, or is that one? All right, the why. Well, the simple story is that it's not, you know, it's not good for the birds, nor is it good for the humans. Next reason is the birds enjoy this, of course, but we are conditioning and training the birds so that when they see a human, they look at us as a food source. And you'll see this again when you go to the beach, where people come and they sit down, they have some snacks and everything, all of a sudden you'll have one or two gulls, and then you'll have three or four, then five or six gulls, things like that. So we have a problem there. Believe it or not, a diet of fish and chips and fries and Cheetos is not particularly healthy. Seagulls are supposed to be eating fish and insects. In reality, next slide, I'm sorry. Thank you. In reality, by doing this, the birds aren't getting the nutrients that they need. They're not getting the protein that they need. So, such that they're missing calcium and phosphorus. Final reason is that if you continue to feed the birds, as you know, if you get one seagull and they get food, then you get two, then you get 20, then you get several hundred. Well, what that's going to do is, if they can't get a food source, they're going to start looking for small birds and eggs, and they're going to attack the native bird populations. That includes the piping plovers, the black skimmers, and terns, all of which are native to us. My slide's not working. Can you advance
me? Oh, we're both hitting it at the same time.
Okay.
I'll just do it. Don't worry about your clicker.
You're talking into it. Okay, as far as presidents, many counties and states and towns and communities all have ordinances that say, do not feed the birds. Kill Devil Hills, the Outer Banks areas, you cannot feed the birds. State of Virginia, you cannot feed the birds, period. That's for the whole state. But in particular, I like the sentence at the very end. When it attracts any species of wildlife in such numbers or circumstances to cause property damage, endanger any person or wildlife, or create public concern, public health concern. I think when you have hundreds of seagulls around you, that you have a public health concern. To the south of us, next slide. Here. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm looking at my thing. Next slide, sorry, I'm not my fault. South Carolina, Myrtle Beach, passed a law in 2009. So we're surrounded by people who communities have done this. But in closing, I forgot the penalties. When I researched this, the penalties really are crazy. There's several communities that suggest that you start off with $150 and then escalate up to $1,000. My suggestion is that perhaps, first of all, we need an ordinance. Second thing is we need to explain to these people that it's illegal to feed the birds and it can be a civil fine. If I had a suggestion, this would be the course of action that we took, $5,100, $250, $500 type thing. But again, first thing we need is an ordinance. And then the final slide. Here, one before that. It's a repeat of the beach. Imagine that you have a group of friends or you have family inside town. You decide that you want to go to the beach. When you get to the end of the ramp, the first thing you see is this.
We're walking on the
porch. You can't do anything about it. So in closing, the Shoreline Access and Beach Protection Committee is recommending to the town of Turry Beach, Beach Council, that they consider making the feeding of birds on our beach illegal and subject to civil fines. That's it for me. Okay. Any questions?
Rick, any questions, Council? Anybody up here?
That's the recommendation from the council. Have you talked to either the police or fire departments other than finding out there was an ordinance about enforcement and what you're asking?
I spoke to Lieutenant Bailey, and he said we do not have an ordinance, which means you can do anything you want to regarding the
No, order. I understand that we don't have one, but have you talked to them about
incidents?
Where they are on the issue?
They didn't take a stand on the issue.
Okay.
I spoke with Lieutenant Bailey.
Okay. Yeah. Not fire, because the lifeguards would probably be involved as well.
Not fire, I haven't spoken with them.
Okay.
The code's got a public nuisance section in it. They enumerate various activities or actions which constitute public nuisance. At the current time, there's only one provision that may or may not work, but certainly it can be addressed if we need to. Any condition detrimental to the public health, that's fine. Which violates the rules and regulations of the county health department. That's the linkage that I'm not clear on without looking at those. But either way, the matter can be addressed.
Right.
If you all see the need for it.
So this is just this one area, Rick, that you're getting complaints on?
It's my understanding this is the area that I'm getting complaints on. But I think if you go to the beach frequently enough, you'll see instances of like this.
Well, and understand that people do feed the birds. And also, too, we have issue with enforcement also. So right. By the time someone would be called, by the time they got there, they've probably been fed and moved on. So I don't have a problem with us looking into it. Y'all.
No, I agree.
But there are some hooks. We need to look and see what our neighbors to the north are doing. And possibly down some, maybe the Brunswick County beaches close by and see what they're doing.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you,
sir.
So we want to direct someone on the staff to do that?
Yeah, I guess that's the next thing we need to do. Let me talk to Chief Bowden.
Okay.
And you can search, all the ordinances for all the beach towns in North Carolina. And see if there's any, what the general consensus is,
okay.
And how they might handle this. But the attorney suggested there are multiple ways that we might be able to handle this. So I'm not sure how we could search all of those.
Yeah, we need to. Do you think maybe the health department would have something in?
Well, somebody needs to look into that. My point was simple. If we need to develop provisions that make that particular activity under certain conditions a public nuisance, that can be done.
Right.
So it wasn't various options, it was just if y'all want to go with a public nuisance approach, that we can draft something.
We can draft something in that. Okay.
But if it bears looking into the county first, if that might save us a stitch in time.
Yeah, I'll talk to Lieutenant Bailey. He's at another meeting tonight. Okay. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Marianne. We're on Lago. My point is, why put the effort into this when we had rules about dogs on the beach? That wasn't enforced. So you're going to make another rule that's not enforced? Seems like we're wasting time and money.
Okay.
The dog ordinance was never enforced, ever.
Okay.
Not in the 7 years I've been here, so.
That's not true, ma'am. That's not true.
We did enforce.
That's blatantly not true. So I'm sorry you don't feel it was enforced, but that's not true.
It did. We didn't enforce it.
I was with police officers and lifeguards that shooed people off, especially during COVID, where they were encountering irate people, rude people about dogs. So to say it wasn't enforced, to how you want it, when we have two officers for the entire town, but that's different than it wasn't enforced. So I disagree 100%.
Okay. Stormwater Committee, Tracy, you had any report?
Stormwater is not nearly as exciting as everybody else. I guess the update is we don't have the update. We've been navigating some travel complications.
Okay. I can't imagine who that would be. So.
I can't either.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, now department head business, administration, Mandy.
So the first thing on my list tonight is our memorial fish plaques. So we're coming toward, we're getting close to the end, what do you say, maybe, of how many plaques we have left. I mean, we have enough left, but we're getting close. And we've had a couple of, we started doing something with some of the retirees. When they retired, they got a fish in the boardwalk. And then we got retirees from way back before we had this program that don't have a fish in the boardwalk. Or if we've had an employee pass. So one thing we would like, or I would like to do, is to go back and add a few fish for these people and kind of start a new trend to where we continue for our retirees, and then if we have a staff member pass while employee, they get one there.
So if someone retires from the town with retirement benefits,
full retirement benefits,
then instead of giving them a plaque or something, a gift or something like that, we would put a fish in their honor?
Yes, or if they pass.
Or they pass.
Is that good, Sean? Nikki? Mm-hmm. Is that cover? Mm-hmm.
I will say we'll only be able to do this for maybe two more years.
Yes.
The space to place the bluefish is dwindling.
That's because we're doing it on the vertical mm-hmm. boards instead of in the boardwalk board. Any thoughts, guys?
It's okay by me. One motion.
I don't think we need a motion. I think Mandy and them, because that's just something we've been doing. We can. I think that'd be a good deal.
Okay. All right. Because I have a few I'd like to go back and recognize.
Yeah.
Okay. The second thing on my list is I've kind of spoken with you guys individually. I just need authority to move forward with working on our contract and our legal documents with the company GPI. Our rep, Jonathan Hinkle, has moved to another company called Bolton Mink. And I've sent them our service agreement at this time, and their legal team was looking at it. And Jimmy's aware, so he and his whole team have gone to another company, and they're very, very familiar with our projects, and they've done all of our studies. So,
this is stormwater studies, correct?
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
And our attorney's going to work with us on the legal documents.
We just need to be a little cautious here in the beginning. GPI's got two contracts. One is a major Matsu contract. I don't know whether that's been completed or not.
It's not.
Not because we
stopped.
We suspended that project, so we put pin down on that.
Because that was my most significant concern. The other contract we've got is, as Mandy said, a master service agreement. It's basically them being on call, and to an extent that we were able to exempt it under the Minnie Brooks Act. Mm-hmm. That may be, and there's no termination provision in it, so prohibiting it one way or another. So I think that contract can be terminated. Engineer Hinkle said that, as Mandy referenced, they were checking with their legal to see if that could be terminated or consented to by GPI. So I'd like to get some feedback on that before we terminate, but I think
we just don't have it yet.
Right.
I would say with the work Jonathan has done for us in the past, that it'd be to our best benefit to keep him on board, and if we can work that out, let's just bring it back to us when you and Jim can get something. We don't want to do it. I know he's got some legal things that he has to be mindful of.
Yes.
From his side too.
Well, and they're looking at how they can get our data, if they can get our data and all of that.
Yeah.
So I'll bring it back.
Okay.
That's all I have for now. I'll have something later.
That is one thing I want to emphasize. The master, I think it's both agreements, have a pretty strict ownership clause in where GPI owns those documents. So we have to be very careful about, we're licensed to use them, but not to distribute them.
We can't, like, and even though it's our information.
Yeah, we need not do that in the future.
Okay. All right, thank you. Development and compliance, Bethany, any report tonight? You had your monthly report.
Well, I did just want to report one thing on CAMA. We did our beach management plan, as you know, was approved back in the February meeting for the coastal resources management, which is allowing me to now measure setbacks from a more oceanward vegetation line. I've already had about four permits come in since then, since I've been applying the new rule. About three out of four of those have been able to utilize that new line.
Right.
So far, it's up and running.
Good. Good.
That's it.
Finance, Harlan, anything?
Yeah, I just have one thing. It's back in August, Council adopted a resolution to apply for a CAMA grant to replace beach access number 140. So we have been awarded that, and we have now actually received the agreement for it. So our next step really is to develop a capital project budget ordinance. One of the components of that, though, is a town match, which again was agreed to as part of that resolution of 25%. So that's about, you know, just about $46,500. And as I develop, put together this capital project budget ordinance, just want a little bit of guidance, I guess, where we want that match to come from. I kind of have two options. One is the Beach Protection Fund, and the other is the General Fund. And I guess I would put out there that my recommendation would be the Beach Protection Fund. So, before I move forward with doing all of this, I guess I just really wanted to get council consensus that we're in agreement with that approach.
And I recommend we follow the finance officer's recommendation. So you just need consensus, right?
That's for the next, I'll bring to the April meeting.
You'll bring the actual ordinance next meeting. Okay, is that agreeable to everyone?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Great job, Ron.
Fire department, anything, Ed?
No updates, Mr. Mayor.
Police department is not represented tonight. Chief went on home today. He's recovering from a little bit of shoulder surgery. He's doing quite well. Wasn't as bad as he thought, but he went on home today. So, public works, Jimmy, have anything?
Yeah, outside of the monthly report, Public Works is trying to do some stormwater maintenance on the Sandman lot. The only issue that I have is I cannot find property markers on it, so I'm asking council's approval to hire a surveyor to come out and survey the properties. Also, it'll be good when we build a park or something like that.
We'll need it at some point.
I'm asking it for maintenance reasons tonight,
I'd point out that surveyors, like engineers, are subject to the Many Brooks Act, so you'll need a resolution to exempt them. In order to do that, we need some proposals. And in order to do that, we're going to have to do it at a meeting. So
next month.
Time special meeting, otherwise next month.
Okay.
Well, I'm only asking for a small amount of money. So, I understand what you're saying. So I need to get the proposals and come back and do it. But I'd really like to get this done before.
That's why I mentioned what I mentioned. 143, I don't remember the citation, but the provision says before you hire a surveyor, an architect, or an engineer, you have to do an RFQ process.
Understood.
But if it's less than $50,000, you can exceed.
Okay.
Right. And so it is $1,700, and I make a motion that we exempt the survey of the Sandman lots.
We've already got a proposal for this?
Yes, we do.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
Yep.
You can do that exemption orally.
Yep. I make a motion that we exempt the surveying of the Sandman lots from the Many Brooks Act for stormwater support issues for the Public Works Department.
Second. Did you reference the amount of the contract in your motion?
$1,700. Yes, sir.
I second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Everybody good with this? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Attorney, I apologize for not getting that to you before the meeting.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
And also, I'd just like to give Council an update on the AIA grant, like I do every month. They're coming along pretty good with it. They actually camered and videoed and cleaned 10,000 feet of sewer pipe in our problem areas in town. They also have pulled the well at 7th Avenue and camered it, and I just got the survey report this afternoon, so hopefully that'll be up and running in the next week or so. So.
Okay, good.
But the grant's going good.
Okay, thank
All
you.
Right, thank you.
And just one more thing about the surveying. We'd like permission to inform the local property owners that we are going to be surveying.
I think that'd be smart.
Yeah, so it doesn't cause us problems later. So if council consensus for that, we'll work with Mandy and Jimmy to get that taken care of.
Yeah, you know, we did that recently with the group doing the some of the crosswalk work where they sent out a notification, and I got one phone call from all of them, so it worked out to our benefit.
So do I have consensus?
Yeah, I would just go ahead and send
it. I'll work with Mandy and Jimmy. Yeah. We'll take care of that.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Recreation, Nikki?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Tonight, I'm presenting a film permit application for initial review, the details of which are outlined in the agenda packet. Due to their requested impacts needing Council approval, we needed to get it into, it was important to place this request on tonight's agenda, as the next month's meeting is only 2 days ahead of their scheduled or proposed activity. But because we are still a month out, the exact details of that request are not yet finalized. The production team will be conducting a technical scout the week of April 8th, and the proposed plan is solidified more after that visit. As soon as those details are communicated to the town, I will share them with council for a final review, but tonight is just the initial. We have received communications from our downtown businesses with their concerns regarding the impacts to their respective businesses, and which those should be taken into consideration as you review the request. We're still collecting data from department heads as well with regards to impacts to town services that will also need to be accommodated during that process. So tonight's not necessarily about approving the film permit application, but providing guidance and parameters to the production team as they move forward with their process. And then once their technical scout is complete and their ask is solidified, then we'll come back for a final review. But we do have David Thornsberry is the locations manager of the production, and he's here tonight to answer any questions. And I know we have a lot of representation from our downtown businesses as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll start. So I sent emails to council and to Nikki, which I assume were communicated to you, Mr. Thornsberry?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's pretty important, at least to me, and I assume to the rest of council, but I'll just speak for myself, that every business impacted and you work out your agreements before we give permission, right? So I've worked in about 5 of the businesses down there over my lifetime, and my family owned one of them for a short period of time, a long time ago. And they're very important to the community. A lot of our fire department members and lifeguards worked at these businesses. A lot of the local young kids, I'm not gonna call them children, young kids, youth work in these businesses, right? And so, and they're very important to all our visitors because that's who feeds us and who allows us to drink or whatever else we're doing. So. My understanding is you haven't reached agreement with them yet, so at least for my position, that part needs to happen before final approval. But I appreciate the detailed data so we can at least understand what you're asking for, and then now you got to do the work of going business to business and talk to them, right?
Yeah,
work out all the deals.
Yeah, yes, sir. I understand that that's my job. I've known for about 34 years now, just doing location managing, and usually I don't have to go this far out to try to ascertain the impact because I don't have any information yet. Most of our crew is local, we're still hiring people. We haven't gotten to the point where we're all down there at the same time saying, okay, we're putting the camera here, put the truck here, all that kind of stuff. I just had to basically go big because I don't know what I don't know yet. I plan to scale it back considerably. And as a matter of fact, as I sit here tonight, because I know my fan club's all sitting in front of me here, I want to make everybody happy as I can, because my job is actually to be in community relations. I like to have everybody happy, and not, I don't want to go into a place where we're not welcome.
Right.
There's plenty of places we can go, and you know, the director likes the sand there. All of our filming is on the sand. We're not filming on K. And as a matter of fact, what I'm probably going to do is talk to them about pulling any parking requests off of K Avenue. I think that will satisfy a lot of the concerns. Mm-hmm. Leave K Avenue open for the businesses so they can conduct their businesses as normal. Keep everything on Atlantic and in private lots, and let them, because we're not going to close the pier. We're not going to close down the activity at the little pavilion there. The tour groups are welcome to come in and doing their things. We're not stopping anything from happening. We're just going to film our little thing on the sand and try to get along with everybody, and everybody be happy and have a good time.
Perfect. Okay. I don't got any other questions, sir.
Okay. I do know that it's been about 2 years since we've had a film request, and this is something that Nikki and her department have done a very good job of making sure, and just for everybody's knowledge, a proposal doesn't come to us for approval until all the businesses and everybody affected down there are satisfied and to the point. Okay, so, and we've never dealt with a situation where a business was upset or didn't agree with what was being done. We always were able to work it out some way, in some form or fashion. So, we do have a little bit more time. Normally, we get these very short notice, and we have to kind of hustle around to get them approved. But we do have a lot of considerations, where there's deliveries, fire, garbage, whatever it is, trucks coming in and out, and then you throw in the fact that it can affect people's business too, as one of the main components of this. So thank you for being here tonight, sir. And if there's no other questions or comments from council, we'll just move forward, wait to hear what comes back to us.
Yeah, I just want to concur with David. I mean, we're always supportive of our local businesses.
Yeah.
They come first.
Thank you. Okay. Anybody? Good. No. Nick, you got what you need from? Okay. If there's a question, you know, we'll communicate with everybody on it. And if anybody have a question or a comment, Nikki's got the most up-to-date information. She does a great job of handling these things.
And then I would.
Okay, you go.
Different subject. Public Works, it was able to complete the ADA parking updates. So those, right. You know, having trouble getting the painters here, they did the line striping themselves, and they did a wonderful job. And I just want to say thanks to them for that.
They figured, they found a new task they could do, right, Jim? Good job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, under old business, approve the system development fees. We just had a legislative hearing. Arlen, is that yours to present?
Which thing do you want to I guess
what we discussed at the council retreat. And since then, it's been posted on the town website for a 45-day comment period. I think on day one, I received two comments where people not really understanding what the fees were. I explained it to them, and after that, we received no additional comments. And I guess during the legislative hearing, there were no comments either. This was really just evaluation, required reevaluation of an existing fee that we have. It has to be reviewed and updated every 5 years, so that's what this is. It's actually increasing, but a very small amount. It's going from $592 to $635, so only a $43 increase. And this is really for a fee on new construction for them, for the new construction to basically buy into our existing water and sewer system.
So if it's a demolition, it's not a new construction, just to make sure that's clear.
Correct.
Any questions for Arlen?
Yeah. And what I have there is I've made that adjustment on the fee schedule, so it would I guess, need approval for that. You're accepting the increase.
The new fee schedule.
Right. But there's also one other fee that I think is unrelated to this. I've added a fee for, since we now accept e-checks, we've now run into the situation where we have returned e-checks with insufficient funds. So it's a different amount than what we have for a normal paper check. A normal paper check, there's a fee of $25. For an e-check, we're charged $5 by the credit card company. So I've also added a fee into this revision of $5. We're not making any money on that. It's just what we are actually charging.
So make a motion we accept the proposed town fee schedule revised as of today, 3/18/24.
Okay, I have a motion and a second.
Second.
Any discussion? Everybody good? Mm-hmm. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? All right, thank you, Arlen. Okay. Mandy, continued discussion on social media policy.
Yes, sir. Before I go forward with that, I forgot one thing earlier, and it is old business anyway, so I'm not going to technically break any law. we had a policy where if our staff had COVID, we were doing 2 weeks of paid time off, then we dropped it to 5 when things changed with the CDC. The CDC has made new changes, so basically now you treat it like cold or flu. There is no isolation period or quarantine, so I think that we just need to stop doing what we're doing and go back to regular, use your own sick time if anything happens. I just need consensus from council before I...
Motion.
Well, she said consensus.
Just consensus is fine.
Yeah, that's fine. We're going back to our old policy before COVID.
Just going back to our old,
I think everybody agrees with that.
Temporary.
Yes, I do.
Yes,
yeah,
I agree.
Thank you.
Okay. So, some discussion had come up about social media and Facebook and committees having Facebook pages. And I said that I would do some research. And I did. And the one thing that has bothered me through the whole thing is I don't have a problem with social media. What I have a problem with is commenting on social media. So basically I told council that I would feel comfortable if we had a town Facebook page, if I managed it and there was no commenting. So instead of having individual pages for committees, I would be updating our town page with everybody's information. So, Lieutenant Bailey and I actually did a webinar on social media through Lexapol, that policy system that they're using now, and it was specifically on social media. And we asked the question, and we got an email response back from her, and it said, "Here are my thoughts regarding turning off comments. Although you can legally turn off comments completely as long as you leave them off. She recommends against it because social media isn't meant to be one way and the algorithm recognizes when pages do not engage, so your content reach will be extremely impacted negatively. This is what you don't want when you have important critical information to share. Also, it's not good for public perception and community relations because citizens want transparency and open communication. Lastly, if you do have a critical, controversial incident, you post about it and people want to comment or say something and don't have the opportunity. I've seen them flood departments, emails, phone lines, and show up at stations and offices." She's referring to police stations, fire stations, and town hall facilities, which is worse to deal with, in her opinion. Additionally, they will still voice their concerns on social, but on their own pages and other pages and groups, and it's better that you're aware of it and can respond if needed. I know that's a long answer, not exactly what we wanted to hear, but it's an issue she gets asked about a lot. And she's seen a lot of backlash from doing it. Short answer, yes, you can do it. So the way I would view our Facebook page is not as a hot button topic, but as an information highway, basically. We're sharing information. So if council wants to move forward with it, I would strongly suggest against allowing any commenting. I think number one, we're in the midst of a storm like Florence. I don't think people should be allowed to post on our page pictures of other people's property that are not at home. So I think there's so many things, and I don't think they should be able to comment about damages to certain properties, and then you've got someone that's not even here to address it. I just think it could cause a lot of negativity and not look good. But if you guys want to do it as an information highway, I do think it would be nice to be able to send out our alerts via Facebook page, in addition to our text alerts when we do those, because a lot of people don't read our emails, or they will ignore our text. I mean, we have a decent click rate, but a lot of them get ignored unless there's a storm. So if we wanted to do a road closure, if we needed to boil water, any of those things could be distributed on our Facebook page. So, I mean, we would have a pretty boring Facebook page, but it would be there for information if anybody was needed.
Mandy, would this be a page that people would have to request membership as a joined group, or would it be?
Yeah, we could set that up.
Any comments, Scott? Concerns?
I have a comment, if I may. As Bike Ped Committee, I think it would really serve very well and it'd be a good alternative for us. One of our 2024 goals has been to really improve and be proactive with our communications. And we have a lot to get out there. And one of the concerns with the commenting piece, we've thought and talked long about that. And we would like, anything we post out there, we would say, if you have any questions, concerns, please contact us at our email, our bike ped gmail address.
Yeah.
So I think that will really go a long way to be able to accommodate that.
Okay.
We have a lot going on, a lot to get out there, and it's just to be aware we've got Tour to Blueberry, we've got the feasibility study. There's so much we need to get out there. Be a great tool to have.
Okay. This is really not a public.
I'm not pushing for or against.
Discussion, but I'll. Yes, sir, you have a comment, sir. You had your hand up, sir.
I did.
Okay.
I gave my comments about social media and Facebook specifically last month.
Yes, sir.
And I said that it was dangerous and that, you know, there's a limited number of. We already have, council already has, with your honor, already has a way to communicate in person, comments before the meeting, and email, and the website. So you already have everything. Why set up something with Facebook? People that don't have Facebook accounts are left out. You know, the council has already put something in place, and I think that something like social media can take, it has positives, but also negatives.
Okay. Thank you.
And that power can, it can be difficult to deal with.
Okay. Now, any discussion up here? Gives the council comments?
I mean, you said we wouldn't post any hot button issues. We don't always know what a hot button issue is.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't want to deal with that.
Something that we think is very innocent or straightforward, informative, can certainly raise the hackles of some people. If we were to go forward with this, I think we might want to put together a set of guidance as to what we do want to post on there, what we don't want to post on.
Right, and we have a social media policy. We can look at amending it and tightening it up for our end of things versus what the departments are doing, because they're having good success with theirs, as far as I know. I'm not for it or against it. I'm just bringing you the facts.
But Mandy's offering to do it. So, Dave, you have a comment?
Well, I think our social media policy has worked as well. I hate Facebook personally. I think it causes lots of problems. I watch the Carolina Curie Beach Facebook page, sometimes sadly, but I watch it. I watch what commissioners of Carolina Beach do on Facebook, and I really don't think that's appropriate for Curie Beach in either fashion. And I think, you know, we should provide communication, and I feel we do, right? So I'm concerned that a lot of our citizens don't sign up to our alert system. I try to push them every year to do that. I hope everyone in here has already signed up, right, on your text, phone, or email. Our website, and I heard you say it's hard to get your website, so I went there as soon as you said it, and it's three clicks. So your website is not that hard to get to. If someone wants to understand something about Curie Beach, our website, the department heads and the committees do a really good job of putting information and making it easily available. When I have citizens that have issues with stormwater or with water and sewer, I bring my phone out and show them, here's the website, and send them the link instead of just telling them the answer, because I don't want them to call me again. I want them to look up the answer. So I personally just think Facebook is another one of those things that are great for kids and social media, but professional organizations just get themselves in all kinds of trouble all the time. And you can Google small towns Facebook horror stories and find one, or you could just look for Carolina Beach if you want to. So I don't like that we're in it at all, but we're already in it, so I have no interest in changing the current policy personally.
Okay. Like we're at the council's discussing this right now.
My feeling too, if we're going to start a Facebook page where we tell people to join the Facebook page, they can join the town websites and go there. I mean, we're already have the information flow that if people are interested enough to find out what's going on, it is not hard to really be engaged with Curie Beach Council and committees.
Okay.
Well, I like the idea of it, but I also like the idea of control. Because what we're talking about is we want people to have more information, and I understand what the committee wants to do. I mean, they really want to use it to push out educational information. And I think anything that you do to educate the community about, you know, safety on the highways and on their bicycles and walking is a great thing. So there's a lot of, you know, good attributes to having a Facebook page. But I would say that I don't know that I like the idea that people have to join it. Because if you're, you know, you just want to go and look at it, you go, oh, I can't look at that information because, oh, I have to join
it. Right, and that's just... I mean, that doesn't have to be.
That was just a question I had.
Yeah, yeah. So, you can do that either way.
Yeah, either way, but
they can somehow, or not
but if we had it, would it only be certain like committees that would be allowed to post? Because, you know, if you allow everyone to post, then, you know, someone that has a dry cleaning business starts posting about their dry cleaning business. So how do you control who's posting?
I'm the poster.
Okay, so you're the poster.
I'm the poster.
So Eileen and them would have to come to you. Okay. Yes.
Just like we're the poster, Beth and I and Nikki are the posters of the website.
So that would control that we wouldn't have.
If I can't put it on our website, it won't go on Facebook. That's my rule. If we had Facebook, if it's not something I'm going to share on the website, then it should not be shared on social media.
Okay.
And do you think that's accurate?
No, Mo.
I mean,
other than like a bit picture or something like that,
you would trust it for a different purpose.
Right.
So this all started because Bike Ped wanted to expand their areas or ways of giving out. So Mo, did you have a comment?
Well, I was just saying, like, we're just trying to find ways for communication and education. And let's say we have a 30-second PSA about a bicycle. You know, the law is the bicycle has to drive as close as practicable to the right side of the lane. But if there's sand and debris, that person on the bike needs to take the lane. And people that are driving cars are frustrated. So there might be a 30-second PSA that addresses something like that. Or it could be crosswalks, heads up, phones down type of thing. You know, that's the information we want to expose the public to.
I mean, we put the information on our website, we put the information on Facebook. If people don't want the information, they're not interested in the information, they're not going to look at it anywhere but put it. I mean, that's the bottom line. So, I mean, I'm just saying, if you want it, I'll do it. If you don't, then...
Well, our current policy allows it, so... You know, in the current policy, what you just said, Mo, you could give to Mandy and it could be put on Facebook right now.
Except
without
that
changing.
Mandy doesn't have a Facebook page for the
town. Okay. Then the recreation department could put it on the recreation department's Facebook page. There's a department head that has a Facebook page right now that you could work through to put that on. But Could and not, it requires no changes. Go ahead, sir.
Could not somebody on the bike ped start a called a Cary Beach bike ped website or Facebook page?
They could have to say it's not.
And as long as it's not sanctioned by this council.
It's not sanctioned. They can't say it's the town of Cary Beach.
I think Facebook is trying to fix that, but they haven't because I researched that too. So technically, they're supposed to say it's not sanctioned by the town in the header. But they're not doing a great job.
But it's a sponsored committee by the town that we've got all the record retention and
that's exactly
open meeting. I mean, not open meeting, but what am I trying to say?
Public
record law. I think we're into that, even though, yes, they have every right for somebody to do that, but they are a committee appointed by us. I think that's a slippery slope, to be honest with you.
We want to do it without your
right.
Yeah.
Total
yeah.
Approval.
I agree with it. I don't like the comments. I look at Facebook, I share things that might be family related or I do share some positive town things from time to time, but I never make any comments and I hate reading the comments from people because really no good ever comes out of them. But I would like to see a way for us to be able to get our word out in a better way. If it means saying sign up for the email blast, here's where you go to do it. Another way.
I think the issue is the Recreation Department has a Facebook page now. The Bike Ped Committee should work with that department head.
And we did talk with them. I mean, ours is set up to allow commenting, and we can't change that now.
That's fine.
But we're department two, and we're not also.
I think for me, the responsibility for the post is the department head, right? So the one issue that the Bike Ped Committee may or may not like is that if Nikki says it's not going on, not going on, right?
Because
she's responsible.
Are they going to have to wait? Do they have time to put it on?
No, I mean like if the content.
Oh, well, I'm,
whatever yeah, they yeah. want on there.
Yeah, if they're going to get blasted with comments. I mean, you've got two people in that department, so they're not going to be able to monitor every single. That's the other concern.
I think that's for Nikki to tell us, right?
On every post if you have comments.
I don't know for sure, but I would want to look at local government acting like a censor in that regard. I mean, if you're going to have somebody on behalf of the town saying what can or cannot go into that Facebook page.
The town does it all the time. So, I mean.
We do it on our website.
Well, yeah.
I could just see the situation where somebody's going to be disgruntled by not being able to get on that Facebook page.
Oh, no. Well.
It's just hypothetical.
I got you. Okay.
Can I say one thing real quick?
Well, no, not really, because this is a council decision. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just going to make a comment from a marketing perspective.
Okay, go ahead. You're a committee chairman. Go ahead.
I just want to say, this is like the tail wagging the dog a little bit. I think if you put a business case out there, decide what you're trying to solve, and then choose the tool. Don't let the tool drive the decision here. And right. That's what you guys got to wrestle with. Because marketing is social. That's your social channel. It's not a business channel. You're trying to make a business channel, but they're not.
We have a... Anybody have a...
No.
I'd like to find a way to make something work out.
Can we have a council member or two work with?
Can we?
Nikki and the bike ped committee?
Nikki's standing up. Yes, ma'am.
We've We do share some of their events and things they put on now, and we will gladly continue to do that in the future, maybe a compromise temporarily to see how that goes, is a newsletter that we can send out through our website that is maybe contains more information, like it's, there's different free marketing tools you can use to put something nice together that would have, like, whether, whatever frequency you want, it could go out and it would have any of your upcoming things or links to events and any educational, you know, as an option, and we will still continue to post on the Recreation Department page any of your events. And
yeah, if you guys want to do a monthly newsletter, we could send that out via email with our town news. We'll post it on the website, and it'll go out with our delivery.
And we can post the newsletter on Facebook as well as an image.
Or a link.
Mm-hmm. I think if you try it on a trial basis and see how it works.
Well, you can't, well...
I mean, she...
Once we open that can of... Oh, you're talking about the newsletter?
No, on the Parks and Recreation, try doing the newsletter, see if it works or not. Does it create, you know, a burden for Nikki, or is it okay?
I don't think it would, but for our department, we would just post it on their behalf and say, you know, if you have comments, you know, to direct them to you guys as email or whatever other outlet.
And then your page is shareable, I think, because correct. I've shared it. Mm-hmm. That's what got this going. It's like, we've got it, but we're just, you know, babysitting
right.
it.
Because we're, the Recreation Department's not just the Bike Pet Committee that
correct.
Won't post excessive amounts of stuff, but, you know, we can post some.
Is that a good enough compromise? Of course. Mr. DiGilio, does the Island Chamber Facebook page allow feedback?
Yes, it does. If I may expand on that, though, I have to agree with Mr. Hagler. It's a cesspool.
I didn't say that, but I agree. So thank you.
Put the word right in your
just
mouth.
Just my interpretation.
No, I'm...
Okay,
it
so
we manage it excessively.
Right. So let's do this. Sean is already a member of the, or attends the Bike Pet, he's not a member of, but he attends the Bike Pet Committee. Nikki, if y'all would work, if y'all would get the content down to, if we can do a newsletter and that would work, we can definitely share that through whatever means, or continue to share events or programs or stuff like that through the Recreation Facebook page. Agreeable?
So the newsletter, you could put a link that would be a video.
Yes.
Okay.
You can embed a video into that newsletter.
Good.
I think so. We might have to get somebody a little more technology.
I think you can. I just don't know how on the website that'll go out.
I think as long as you put the link or the YouTube thing, yeah, I think you should. Put it on there. So yeah. Okay.
Can I just clarify one thing? We're trying to reach out to Curie Beach residents or island residents in general.
Or people visitors that come here.
Or people that visit here. I mean, Nikki's got people that follow the...
What's government. Unique about our island versus any place else that you ride your bike?
What's unique?
Because there's so much information on bike safety. People are interested in bike safety. So I understand that, but I'm just saying, you know, do we put ourselves at risk here and creating something?
No.
When there's so much information already out there.
I think as visitors, people will reach out to Facebook. They use that as a big source around here locally from talking with folks, and they're looking for information on Facebook.
Okay.
Let's see how it goes. Let's report back to us and let us know if we have any problems. Okay?
I'm done.
All right. Thank you, Mandy. Okay, new business tonight. We have a proposed text application for the Sombra Properties LLC, and I think Mr. Coggins has that. Thank you, Steve, for being patiently waiting with us tonight.
It's my pleasure, Mr. Mayor, and honorable members of this board. I'm Steve Coggins, and I practice law in Wilmington, and it is my pleasure to represent Aaron and Kelly Orlando. They have this family LLC called Sombra Properties. They are, I think, the quintessential dream of Curie Beach. That they are from St. Louis, Missouri. He is an international pilot who attended the planning commission meeting and is not here because he missed his convention. Even though he's a pilot, apparently they don't get treated any better than the rest of us. Even though the family's in St. Louis, their mother brought them to Curie Beach for decades. Her mother moved here in Carolina Beach. His sister has moved here. He wants to move here and build a house in the meantime and to be able to move here in his retirement. If he were here, he would want me personally to thank the staff for the town, his work with Bethany and with Beth. And John Batson is, I think, perhaps his last official work before the Planning Commission and coming together with a proposed text amendment that is very narrow. He bought a dilapidated triplex that was here in the B1 district, there on 3rd, and his dream was to renovate it under the ordinances at that time, and we had intervention, if you would, COVID descended upon us in March of 20. You know, that had a great effect on the airline industry. Hurricane Isaias descended upon us in August of 20. And meanwhile, we all know what happened with the interest rates during that time period. And through a combination of terrible circumstances, he just simply wasn't able. Once it was determined that the kind of work he was proposing to do was more than 50%, he had to go through the permitting process again, and before you knew it, that 1 year limit on being able to apply for a replacement permit, if you would, our ordinances had expired on him. I appreciate very much Commissioner Ashford's summary of that. And I think the only thing that I would just underline is that when he's talked about this proposed text amendment, basically bypassing or getting rid of the one-year rule, but that's true, but only in this context, only in the B1 district, where there's a proposed single-family residence at a place that beforehand was only a residence, and that you comply with the setbacks and that you apply with the 65% impervious surface proposal in this text amendment. That is the only instance in which the one-year rule would not apply. So basically anybody else who's in that situation, they still need to come on a timely basis to the town for that kind of a proposal.
Steve, the one-year provision mm-hmm. stays, what you're suggesting is right. An insert of a new subset.
That's correct. We are inserting a proposed use for the B1 district, as opposed to having to amend the non-conforming ordinance section and having the unintended consequences that might apply in other places. So this makes it as narrow as possible, in keeping with the historic business district, and keeping in mind that whatever it is that the Orlando family wants to build, they have to go through the Historic Preservation Commission, and the design guidelines for the commission expressly provide standards they have to meet for new residences in the B1 district. Has to meet the guidelines that basically has to reflect a 1940s to 1970s feel of a coastal town. So there are a lot of protections there in place for this very narrow text amendment before you to add a new subsection that allows in the B1 district only a single family residence, provided it's established that beforehand was a non-conforming residential use and that it meets with the RA1A setbacks and that it meets 65% impervious surface. This is a process. The wording of this text amendment is not what we originally proposed, but we work with the town staff and with the Planning Commission itself to come up with a language I think better represents the interests of the town as well. And it was always my pleasure to work with my colleague, Jim Eldridge, who he and I worked together on municipal matters for, I regret to say, decades now.
Thank you.
All right, any questions, commissioners? I see P&Z has looked through it. They have their consistency statement here. We entertain.
I make a motion we approve as presented. Excellent job.
for the wording. That's for the wording?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And then the consistency statement would be second.
Yes, sir. Okay, so we're doing the wording first. Got a motion to accept that. Second. Second here. Any other discussion, guys? Questions, concerns?
I will comment
okay.
that I appreciate the fact that these people are from St. Louis and really like to come to Cure Beach. Because my son lives in St. Louis. And this year, they've been coming since the college grandson was 2 years old. He asked me the last time we were together, could I take a week off and let him bring four other families with him to my house? So the St. Louis folks are headed this way.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. And next we need a motion to accept the consistency statement.
Make a motion to accept the PNC consistency statement.
No, need to accept the one from town council.
The town council consistency statement.
The town council consistency statement
okay.
for this issue, sorry. Thank you, sir.
Motion and a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we got you, sir.
Mr. Mayor, a lot of that vote at that moment, I'd be pleased if I could approach the bench, if you
yes,
would, hand up a copy of the consistency statement for your execution.
I think I have it probably in my packet, don't I, Mandy? Willa?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll need to sign it with Ben Letbeth. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Beth will have to stamp it when she's back in for Mandy.
And I thank you again on behalf of the
Erasmus okay.
family and everyone with the town.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. All right. Next item of is 812 Settlers. Peter Saffron here. Peter, I'm assuming that was you. We didn't come to the podium, please. And you're requesting an easement encroachment?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. So my wife and I purchased the property at 812 Settlers about 2 or 3 years ago. And we're actually moving here this July. My daughter's going to go to UNCW. She's all excited about it. So it's wonderful. We've bought this house, our dream house, and it's undergoing renovation currently. However, it was unbeknownst to us during the purchase of it, even though the due diligence that you perform, sometimes you miss things. It had an existing deck on the back side of the house. There's a drainage easement, it's about a 20-foot easement, that runs 1.5 feet from the rear of the house, and the rear of the house also has a rear door. What I'm asking is the ability to build a deck. I've had it engineered so it is basically can be disassembled and moved should there be any service required. We've also reconfigured a side deck to ensure that it's within the easement as well. So there's no, we kind of redesigned that stuff. It's all been stamped by RLA engineers, and that's our request.
Has this gone through development and compliance, Bethany? Is he?
Yes, it has. We've also allowed several other properties along Settlers Lane to encroach decks, removable decks into the easement.
But that side deck doesn't get into the set. It stays
within. Side deck does not.
Okay.
And it's pretty much the same footprint.
Oh, okay. Okay. Great.
And before the meeting, Public Works reviewed it as well. So Jimmy and I. Late, but we did review it, and there's no issues from Public Works
okay,
as well. This
great.
Is a stormwater easement, not a sewer easement.
And most time we have it, when you come on down Settlers, behind these houses is a fourth main sewer line, which is a whole different monster than a stormwater pipe back there. So, council have any other questions or concerns? I'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion we approve the easement as long as the attorney's fine with it.
I'll second.
I imagine it's question. I did look at that item on the agenda, the 812 Settlers Agreement. Is that your typical written agreement for encroachment?
That's what we've used in the past.
And if there's no variance on that, then it's fine.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Good luck to you, sir.
Thank you.
Welcome to Cure Beach.
Yeah. Where are you moving from? Where'd you come from?
Pittsburgh.
Okay. I thought you were going to say St. Louis.
That's nice.
Be sure to sign up for our town email alerts.
Yeah, sign up for the email.
I actually have a solution. I own a company. We deal a lot with law enforcement, so we build drug detection equipment, but I have a good friend who has a company that does a thing. It's called the Sheriff app. They also have EMS app, and it's an app that specifically addresses what you guys are dealing with Facebook stuff. So Mr. Cummings, he's out of Louisiana, but I know within the sheriff community, it's well received. So if there's any information, I'll be happy to pass along.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it, sir. Glad to have you here in town.
Thank you.
All right, we need, we have consideration and action for proposed SW Pipe Rehabilitation Agreement with Civil Solutions. Mr. Attorney.
Yes, sir. This is about the third or fourth Civil Solutions contract that for pipe rehab. The first go around, we recommended additional terms and conditions. They accepted those, and I'm pleased to say that all their subsequent proposals have included those. So we're good to go on this contract.
Okay, we have the quote and the warranty and agenda packet.
That's correct.
Any other any questions, guys?
So just for council, this is relining the town-owned pipe underneath Surf and Shell Drive that connects the HOA-owned lagoons for beach walk.
Oh, you're telling me.
Okay. Yeah, yes, sir. Yep. Is that okay?
Where is it at? Surf and...
Surf underneath Surf and Shell,
okay.
As well as underneath Fifth Street
Fifth
Extension.
Avenue, yeah.
So it'll be three, it's actually four pipes because it's a double pipe underneath Fifth Street Extension. But those pipes have been, basically they're failing because of their age. And what they do is they underwash the roads and then Jimmy has to repair the roads. And so we're going to line them just like we did the pipe out here. So that's why we're using Civil Solutions. They've done a great job for us.
Being open-ended on both ends, it shouldn't be that big of a problem.
Exactly right, right. We'll have to pump around and close the road while we're doing the line.
Yeah.
So that there'll be some road closures involved in that, but we'll coordinate that with
the make sure we get that out, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions? I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion. We allow Public Works and the finance officer to engage in this quote for this work to get done.
Second.
You have a second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Great. Next is the, in your packet is the, David, Mayor Pro Tem Hagler has an update on the sewer authority.
Yep, so Connie and I went to the sewer authority meeting that we have annually where we look retroactively at the Carolina Beach audit for spending related to the sewer, and then we adjust our rates appropriately. So for this year, we ended up adjusting the rate for the variable cost to $68.43, the fixed cost to $271.35 per month with the increases, and then capital recovery 3.47 per month decrease because some of the capital is rolled off due to basically the loans getting paid off. That ended up in a overage or an owed by Curie Beach to Carolina Beach of $28,836.26. So I make a motion that we approve the adjusted rates. Council requires to do that so that we can then send them their check and begin paying them at the adjusted rates.
Can I have a motion? Do we have a second?
Can I just,
yes.
Can you just clarify variable versus fixed cost? And variable went up almost 50.
Exactly right. So that's mostly driven by the cost of chemicals. So the chemical cost, and we're seeing it in our sewage treatment plant as well, have went up on the order of 300%. So that's the biggest driver. Also, labor is in variable as well. So when they look at all the costs, some of them are split in fixed, so like the salaries, and then some of them are in variables, so like the portion of the department head of public works would be in fixed labor, but the actual operators of the plant are in variable labor. And so Arlen can take you through the entire spreadsheet if you'd like, so you can see the difference. And so really this year, the variable costs were the major driver. Arlen, you were there as well, was the chemicals?
It was chemicals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were some other minor drivers, but the biggest driver was the chemicals. And this is only for the sewer that we send to Carolina Beach. So for everyone in the audience, Curie Beach also has a smaller sewer plant that we operate at the end of H Avenue. And about 4 years ago, we made a diversion connection so that it allows us to maximize our usage of our sewer lagoon and then minimize how much goes to Carolina Beach because they cost more. Just how the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
So if you looked at your Public Works report that Jimmy had in, for this month, this past month, two-thirds of our sewer went to Curie Beach and a third went to Carolina Beach. In the summertime is when we send a lot to Carolina Beach because we just don't have the capacity. But we're minimizing our costs as best we can, but that's not one of them. And if you'd like more detail, Arlen and I'll be glad to take you through, or Connie, now that she's been there, she can take you through it all.
You go through, Connie?
Sure, yeah. And you can go for a tour. Treatment.
Yeah, we're going to take one as well.
So. Okay, we have a motion on the floor. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Dennis. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. And we can move forward with that. Next item on the agenda is a donation to the Seabreeze Celebration. I received this information from Mayor Pro Tem in Carolina Beach, Deb LeCompte. The Historical Center. Boy, I went blank there. I'm sorry. They're recommending a marker dedication for the Seabreeze and Freeman beaches. And that was established by African-American landowners here during segregation until 1962. So they're going to put a marker out just across the bridge, and they're asking for a donation of $500 from Curie Beach to help offset their cost of the, and that donation will go directly to the Federal Point History Center. Any questions or anything y'all want to discuss on it? We'll all be invited. That's the end of May. It's when the dedication will begin. Will be. We were asked for $500, but they did ask the county and Wilmington and Wrightsville and Carolina Beach all to contribute. So I'll entertain a motion if you
move that we. Make the donation of $500.
Okay. Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you. And I'll inform Mayor Pro Tem LeCompte and figure out, get an invoice to us and everything. All right, next item under new business is consideration of an action and proposed agreement with Andrew Consulting, Mr.
Yes,
Attorney.
Thank you. This is a proposed contract to assess certain portions of the boardwalk and the bulkhead. It's for assessment purposes only. Recommendations will be included based on that assessment. It's with an engineering firm, so you all know we have to go through the procurement process unless we exempt it. The price is less than 50, so you've got a resolution exempting this. In terms of the demonstrated competence, the website for this particular firm represents that they've got a lot of experience in bulkhead wharves and docking facilities. I thought, Mayor, you'd like to comment on Mr. Andrew.
Yeah, I know Mr. Andrew personally. He serves on the Ports and Waterways Commission as the vice chair of it, and he's also very knowledgeable of CAMA regulations and stuff since he's the vice chair of the Coastal Resource Commission and is very involved.
I told Jimmy he found a good one on this one.
He really did because Neil is a very informed. He stays up to date on all the current items and things. So I think excellent choice.
So if you'd like to entertain the motion to exempt, and that motion, that resolution also authorizes acceptance of the contract in your execution.
Okay, so we have the, we can just adopt the resolution.
That's correct.
Okay,
so we 2404.
Okay.
Make a motion that we adopt resolution R24-04 exempting an agreement with Andrea Consulting Engineers from the Minnie Brooks Act.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Great. Good job.
And so, Mr. Mayor, you can then execute the contract, and then similar to the surveying, I would like permission from council to have Jimmy and Mandy work to communicate Atlantic Avenue residents when we go to start work. So this assessment will take require us to take up parts of the boardwalk and actually get down to the bulkhead level on Atlantic Avenue, and they will also do assessments all the way to N Avenue. I had to do it in my head.
Yeah.
To N Avenue for the sub support foundations for the existing walkway. And then they'll give us recommendations on whether that can just be rejuvenated at the surface level or we have to actually replace substrate before we do any work on that.
Good deal. Way to handle this. Okay. Mandy, if you've worked with Jimmy on that, just make sure we get the letter out to everyone. Mayor updates, please attend Wednesday night at 6 for our second open house. It will be an open house, so it'll be done a little bit different than the last time where we will have a flow through the building. People come through, ask questions, do the survey, get individualized attention, and then move on through the room. So we'll have everything set up Wednesday night. Yes, sir.
Just one question.
Yes,
so
sir.
The survey does have people put their home addresses
yes,
there?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Right. Excellent. Thank you.
That's one of the first things they ask.
Thank you, sir.
And there'll be a digital survey.
Yeah, there's a survey. There's another way of doing it, too, other than that. That's all I have for mayor updates. Any commissioner updates?
Nothing for me.
David?
No, next month we'll be scheduling the May hurricane meetings.
Great.
It'll be next month.
Okay. John?
Just stay tuned to the updates on the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge closings and openings on the two different passageways. The work is going as planned, still scheduled to be totally open both ways by the end of May.
And you can go out easy on it.
Westbound is still open.
Westbound is open.
Yeah. Is the other.
And I went through there Friday morning, and it's looks like they're getting along real well with the work. So, Connie, anything you have?
No updates.
Okay. Any other business for the town? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Go Pack.
Yeah. Go Wolfpack. Yeah.